Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Sinners are absolute masters at justifying themselves. And when I say sinners, I mean you. And of course, me. We're masters at justifying ourselves, even in the face of just obvious, clear, plain truth to the contrary, we'll justify ourselves. And if you think believers don't do that, then you just prove the truth of the statement. You're blind to your own self. And me too. We're blind to our own sin. The very things that we look down on others for, and even we'll speak badly about them for, we're guilty of ourselves. There is nothing clearer in God's word than that. May God give us grace to stop judging one another. We never have a reason to do that, ever, to ever look down on somebody else. How can a worm look down on another worm? So God give us grace. We cannot see the beam in our own eye, but we can sure see a splinter in somebody else's eye. That's what our verse is talking about. Do you remember that teaching of our Lord in Matthew 7? Turn there with me if you would in Matthew 7. I don't want to just casually mention that because this is key to our verse. We're here to know what God said, and if we're going to have to, the only way to find out what God said is to look at what God said about what God said. It's not what I say about it. Matthew 7:1, judge not that ye be not judged. And now the Lord, and people, you know how people use that. Judge not that ye be not judged, you know, so that you, people say, well, you never should even be able to identify any sin at all. Even when it's open and blatant in the sight of God, because you're not supposed to judge. It's not talking about that. It's talking about condemning someone else for something when you're clearly guilty of it yourself. The Lord does say, by their fruits you shall know them, and he does say, judge righteous judgment. But this is talking about us judging one another and pronouncing condemnation for sin that all of us are guilty of. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Unless God changes our heart, we're going to condemn everybody but ourselves. And what he's saying is, if that's what you are, then you're going to be condemned yourself. If you judge without mercy, then you'll be judged without mercy. I don't want that. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? That word mote means like a splinter. It means chaff. The chaff from the wheat. Even the wheat ain't very big. The chaff is just a husk. It's a little something in your eye. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And there's a reason that word is translated beam, because when you think of a beam, you think of a support structure. That's exactly what the word means, a support, a structural support that is in thine own eye. Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your eye? How can you not only... are you guilty of what they are guilty of? But because you are, you can't see right. How are you going to even be able to pull a mote out when you've got a beam in your... you can't even see. You don't even know right from wrong without God. You don't know a mote from a beam, or righteousness from sin. You don't know the difference. If you did, you'd see it in yourself. By God's grace, sometimes we do. Believers do. You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And listen, the only one in that parable right there that saw the beam is God. The only one that saw the beam is God. Why? Because all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's our verse. I've seen people sin. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, that's sin? If God said it's sin, right? And I've seen people, I'll take it a step further, I've seen people point out sin in other people, and they're committing the same sin at the same time. I've seen it. I've seen different people. One's bad-mouthing one for a specific sin, and the one bad-mouthing the one is committing the exact same sin at the time that they're... That's our nature, isn't it? But you know what the real question is? What about me? I've seen that. I've seen that in them. What about me? What about me? What about David when Nathan said, David, it's you. It's you that's the problem. It's not somebody else. David could see the sin when he thought it was somebody else. But he was committed. He was the one committing it, and he couldn't see it then. But when Nathan said there was this man, David's like, oh boy, you bring that man to me, I'll kill him. And Nathan said, it's you, David. It's you I'm talking about. The Pharisee could see the publican's sin. Remember Luke 18? Let's turn over there. Luke 18:10. Please turn with me. Luke 18:10. This is a brief passage of Scripture, but boy, you talk about the gospel. Luke 18:10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And you know what? The Lord shows a little, he gives a little bit of light every time you look at something, doesn't he? It seems like he does. I'm so thankful for that. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. The only way you can pray that is with yourself. If you actually ever pray to God, you're not going to pray like that. You can't stand before God and say, I'm not as bad as other people are. You can't do that because he's God. That's how you see what you are, is you see him. You know who you're praying to, and you know what you are. Job said, mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself. And people that abhor themselves in their sinful, wretched, black-hearted nature are not going to say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like other people, like that old publican over there. Boy, what a wretch he is. You can't pray with God like that. You're praying with yourself. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. It sounds good on the surface, doesn't it? Oh, he's thanking God. The problem is he's exactly as other men are. Paul said, by nature, you're the children of wrath, even as others. That word means equal, even, just like. There is none righteous, no, not one. Extortioners, unjust. He started naming specific things that he's not. And you know, he was a Pharisee. You know what was the one thing? I turned there one time and showed it to you. When the Lord used the word Pharisee, he said, you extortioners. The very thing that he denied being was the very thing that characterized who he was. Unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He saw that old publican over there beating on his chest. And he said, boy, I'm glad. Thank you, Lord, I'm not like that. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. I'm not this, and I am this. I do this. I don't do that, and I do this. That's the law. You want to stand before God on a footing of the law? Paul said in another place, don't you hear the law? The law condemns you. By the deeds of the law shall no man be justified in the sight of God. And this man wasn't. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. The Pharisee went down to his house after praying with himself, and he went down in his sins. All of the sins that he had named that he wasn't guilty of, he went down to his house guilty of those very sins. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee's ways, quite simply, were clean in his own eyes. That's what Solomon wrote. But God weigheth the heart. God weighs the spirit. And the Pharisee was found wanting. By God's grace, the publican saw himself as God did, at least to some degree. I really believe that if we ever saw ourselves exactly the way God did, we would die on the spot, don't you think? It would kill us. It would kill us. We wouldn't, if people commit suicide because, you know, there's no hope in this life and things like that, you talk about no hope. You look at yourself the way God sees you. You talk about despair. You don't know what despair is, and I don't either, because I've never seen myself exactly the way God sees me. But by God's grace, he knew this much. God, I need your mercy. I've got nothing to brag about, but I need mercy because I'm a sinner. God showed this man the beam that was in his own eye and the blackness of his own heart. But what's marvelous and what's glorious and beautiful and what we will sing about today and 10,000 years from now, there's not going to be 10,000 years, I suspect, but if there were, we'd still be singing about it. And when there is no more time, we'll be singing about this. God didn't see anything in his eye or in his heart or anywhere else. He said, he's justified. He weighed that sinner's heart and said, he's justified. He's not guilty. He's not sinful. How? Propitiation. That's what he prayed for. He said, God, be merciful. And that word merciful there means propitious. It means to appease. It means propitious. And here's that same word. It's in different forms. This is the adjective form, I believe, in where we just read in Luke. And in Romans here, I believe it's the noun, or the verb. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a sin offering, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's the same word that Paul uses in Hebrews 9 that is translated there, mercy seat. And in that context, Paul describes how that the Old Testament high priest went into that holy place made with hands once a year, not without blood. Paul mentions that in Hebrews 9:5, that Old Testament mercy seat or propitiation or appeasement. And then he says this in verse 9, in that same context, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Those sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament were never meant to take, they could never take away sin. They could never make you without guilt before God, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, what does he mean by the time of Reformation? But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what that publican was crying out for. Redemption. Propitiation on the mercy seat, Lord. I'm a sinner. And my only hope is your grace. And he didn't see himself by God's grace the way the Pharisee saw himself. Because God had given him a new heart, and his ways were not clean in his own eyes. Not anymore. Paul said, I was alive without the law once. I didn't have any idea. I was living by the law, but I didn't even know what the law said. And then the law came. The spiritual truth of the law was taught me by God's Holy Spirit, and sin revived, and I died. But now this publican knew that, and you know how he knew it? You know how he knew that he had no hope before God but the blood? Because that's all God has ever said. God's been saying that since the beginning. He said it all the way through his word from Genesis to Revelation, and he's still saying that. He's still saying the same thing in thousands of different ways, the same simple truth that the only way a sinner can have mercy and favor with the holy God is by the high priest, Christ, offering a burnt offering, Christ, and bringing that blood, Christ, into the most holy place, Christ, and splashing that blood on the mercy seat, Christ. If the high priest does that for me, then I'm justified. I'm clean. I'm clean not just in my eyes. I'm not clean in my eyes, but I am in his. Where it counts. When things were weighed in those days, the last part of our verse talks about what God weighs and how he does it. He weighs the spirits. It's a spiritual weight. When things were weighed in those days, when the book of Proverbs was written, there was a set of scales and there was a stone. And if you bought something at a merchant's place, so you buy a pound of rice from the merchant, a 1 pound stone was set on one side of the scale, and they would pour rice on the other side, and when you had a pound of rice, the scales would balance. But the problem was, of course, knowing the nature of man, often it was a false weight. They would get a rock, and everybody kind of knew, you know, what a 1 pound rock looked like, so they would hollow it out somehow, you know, and make it look like a 1 pound rock, and they'd probably write on there, 1 pound. But it wasn't a pound. It was common for dishonest merchants to use a stone that didn't weigh what they said it did so that they could charge people for a pound but actually give them something less. And there's a verse of Scripture that describes this very clearly. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. The word just there in the original Hebrew means perfect. A perfect weight. Got to be exactly a pound now, or you're not getting a pound. And the word weight there means stone. That's what we've been talking about. That was the weight. A stone. So the perfect stone. And this verse means more. Proverbs 11:1 means more than just that God doesn't like cheats. Although that's true too. The perfect stone is Christ. And God weighs everything in that balance with that perfect stone. When God weighs the spirit of a man, he doesn't weigh it in comparison to another man. That's a false weight. You might measure out pretty good based on that because everybody is altogether vanity. But that's not the way God weighs. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so if he weighs you against me, that might be fine. You might look pretty good. It would be a lie, though. God weighs you and me by that perfect stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you remember what God wrote on Balthazar's wall? When Balthazar used the consecrated vessels of God's tabernacle and temple to have a party and drink wine out of them, and those were consecrated unto God. Those are only to be used in the worship of God to picture Christ. And Balthazar said, "I'm the king, I'll do what I want to do. Bring me those vessels." I'm sure he had other vessels. He was deliberately thumbing his nose at God, which is what we do all the time. It's what we've been doing since the garden. And Daniel told Balthazar a story, reminding him about his father Nebuchadnezzar and how that Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up in pride too and said, "Look at this great kingdom that I've built." And God turned him in. God showed him what an animal he was, what a monster he was. And then Nebuchadnezzar praised the God of heaven and earth and said, "Oh, who can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" And he said this. He said, "Those that lift themselves up in pride, God knows how to bring them down." And Daniel told Balthazar, "The Lord taught your father this, but you apparently don't know it." And God wrote on the wall, and he wrote several things, and one of them was this. I believe it's pronounced Tekel. Tekel, "Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You came up light." And that very night, God killed him and put him in hell. And this is all of us by nature now. That publican, by God's grace, knew it. And you know what he did? He cried for mercy. "I'm not going to measure up. I need the Lamb and his precious blood. I need the mercy seat. I need for God to be propitious to me. The only way that mercy can be had by the precious blood of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ." May God give us grace. I recommend that. Cry to him for mercy, because you don't measure up either. All have sinned and come short. But we're justified, if we are, by grace through faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God be propitious. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's pray.